do the impossible, see the invisible. Roll, roll, fight the power, crush the untouchable, break the unbreakable. Roll, roll, fight the power. What you gonna do is what you wanna do. Just break the rule, then you see the truth. You see the beam of the G coming through, baby. Roll, roll, fight the power. Power to the beats, power for the dreams. Still missing piece, scattering so incomplete. We be that most incredible soldier from underground. See how easy they all fall down.
Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, October 4th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that promises not to kill Big Bird. Joining me this week is Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
Gentlemen.
Hello.
Mike's unmuted his microphone. Because apparently they have a case of the giggles today.
I'm sorry, Imran.
I was going to make a joke about cutting funding to your job, but the time's passed.
I started a novelty Twitter account called Ignore Jim Lehrer last night, and I got like 50 followers for no reason. And I'm never going to hit that Twitter again, but it's kind of funny how easily that works.
Someone on YoGaf did Quiet Jim, whatever his last name is.
Lehrer.
Yeah, and someone else did another one, so like...
Yeah, I guess Jim Lehrer was Twitter gold last night.
Parody Twitter accounts were all the rage 2 years ago.
Yep.
Had its moment to shine.
Yeah.
I forgot to write down what we start with, but I'm assuming Beelzebub.
Yes, yeah. It is Beelzebub, because we're not talking about Taka.
Beelzebub, Furichi.
The yes. End, I would assume close to the end, if not the end of this arc.
Or just the beginning.
True.
The end of this mini arc.
So at the end of the last chapter, Furuichi confronted Oga. It says he'll be his opponent.
In the flashback, not in present day.
Yeah.
And we kind of pick up immediately following that.
With Oga just beating on Furuichi after telling him to get out of the way.
But he continues getting back up, like I suggested.
I love Furuichi's threat of telling the girls that Oga took a poop in their bathroom.
Hey man, in like middle school or whatever it is they're in, that's a serious threat.
Yeah, that's basically a death sentence for popularity.
Well, he's not popular anyway. Everyone seems to think he has a scary face.
He does have a scary face.
Well, yeah. But
it's what attracted Beals.
So we kind of get the, you know, cliche keep getting back up after getting beaten down thing.
Right.
Yep.
And Furuichi claims all that punching is not enough to stop him from being Oga's friend.
Aww.
Isn't that nice? He does attempt to take a swing at him, but never actually connects anything, of course.
Oga punches him in the back of the head. Really gotta hurt.
Well, this is when, as Oga remembers it, when Furuichi went all out.
Throwing one punch.
Yep. But he did keep getting back up. Yeah.
So,
they...
Little Oga seems to have some issues. Like,
yeah.
With how he talks about other people.
Oga, in general, seems to have some issues.
Well, he's remembering at one point what they all say about him. That, like, bad people come to his house, he has evil-looking eyes, he's always angry. Which, not untrue.
If you get close to him, you get hurt.
Yeah. Which, all of these things are very true. But I can see how they would mess a kid up.
I guess the question is, okay, yes, he, you know, enjoys fighting and everything else, but it makes me wonder what he was doing around these other students to give himself that sort of reputation.
I mean, he's probably the kind of guy who would rather be feared than pitied, I guess.
He seems to kind of think everyone else is trash, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe didn't respect them or even try to put up a front.
Which, when your sister is, you know, a gangster, essentially...
Yeah.
You can see how that would happen. But Oga says that he doesn't want anyone walking behind him, because he can't turn his back to people, because he still has to protect them. So Furuichi gets up close and says that, or thinks at least, that hopefully Oga one day finds someone that he can turn his back on.
Yeah, while he walks beside him.
Yeah. Is it just me, or is in, like, the two-page spread where it has the, like, I'll stand right next to you, does it look like they both just suddenly got older? Just in the design.
Yeah, Furuichi, something about him looks a little...
Yeah, they do look a little bit older.
For no apparent reason. And then back to young kids the next page, but yeah.
I think
it's that
it's the body proportions are a little bit more broader shoulders and look a little bit taller.
But it's supposed to show them as being, like, you know, they're growing and being more adult and more badass.
Yeah.
So I can see why.
Yeah. Then after that thought, it cuts back to the present.
Yeah. Where, God, I can't remember who these... Oh, Oga first takes the tissues from Furuichi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying that he doesn't actually need them.
Yeah.
And then the four monks show up from the... They're from a rival school.
When was the last... Because I recognize them, but I can't remember their actual... When they showed up.
There was an assembly or something, I think. Like a pep rally. And they showed up to fight the badass school. And I believe all the seven horsemen beat the crap out of them. And then they show up again when Aoi's doing training with her grandfather.
Yeah, they are the new joke. Everybody beats up and they never actually like have a real fight sort of thing.
It was the volleyball game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. No, wait. Yeah, it was the volleyball game. It was something in the gym.
Yeah. So yeah, they show up and they decide now it's time to get revenge on Oga. Meanwhile, everybody else that Furuichi has beaten up today, as well as some other people who... we haven't seen in a while, show up.
Like Natsume and the guy with the pigtails.
And leading to the best joke in this week's chapter, the try your Furuichi Rhapsody on me one more time, damn it. I'll counter it with a Kanzaki Flamenco.
I hope he uses that at some point against somebody else.
Did we ever find out what's up with Natsume?
No, he just always kind of seems like he knows what's going on.
I wonder if that's just a running joke. Like, it's not just something he hasn't finished, it's just something that, like, oh, hey, this guy is secretly super strong, but you'll never find that out.
I mean, he has fought before and held his own against pretty strong opponents.
Yeah, against Tojo's group.
Just doesn't come up very often.
But it seemed like there was a big plot point before that they just kind of...
There's really any shortage of strong characters in this series.
I think it's mostly just a joke.
Yeah.
That's his thing, is that he's this mysterious guy that you don't really know a lot about, but he's always there, kind of in the background, stealing Furuichi's gags.
So everyone shows up, Tojo, guy whose name I don't remember. We talked about this last week, too, and I've forgotten it since then.
Kanzaki.
I was talking about the guy with the scars.
Oh, Miki.
Yeah. He shows up, then Kuneda and the Red Tails show up.
Yes, and Kuneda has told everyone that Furu has a fever that was driving him crazy.
Yeah.
And is not terribly inaccurate, technically.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that he's a pedophile and he's creepy, he's supposedly one of their classmates. And Furuichi has a protest that just with sparkles in his eyes.
He's not a pedophile.
Or anything.
Yes, and then you have the monks recognizing Aoi and saying hi to her.
And then
poor Furuichi.
Then a group shot at the end of everybody standing, blocking off Furuichi from the monks guys.
Yeah, with their backs to him.
Yes. Symbolism.
Yes, as...
I still think it was a little ham-fisted.
It's a little sloppy, but
yeah.
It's symbolism.
I mean, it's the most shonen-y thing Beelzebub has done in a long time.
This is Beelzebub's holding your arms in the air with the X's on it that One Piece did.
Did that a lot. It did their shonen symbolism thing, like, put your hand in the center and we'll draw a thing.
Put your feet in the center.
Did they do the feet in the center thing?
Yeah.
Well, when they were going up to the Grand Line and they all put it up on the keg of...
Oh, yeah, right.
Sanji put his foot in first and then everybody else followed suit and put their feet up. That was a really cool moment. But Beelzebub, this was also a cool moment.
Yeah.
I love the monks realizing just what they've gotten themselves into.
Fighting everybody, including Oga.
Yes. Also the look on Beelzebub's face at the end.
Yeah, he's just glaring.
I didn't even notice that.
Completely pupil-less.
But yeah, it seemed like everyone turned their back to Furuichi because they're comfortable protecting him, I guess.
No, obviously, they're just turning their backs on him. They're completely abandoning him. It's the exact opposite of what you guys are trying to say it's conveying.
This would have made more sense if the monks were there to fight Furuichi, and everybody stood between them to protect them, but they're to fight Oga, so...
Yeah. But Oga's injured anyway. Or at least low-powered at the moment. But he'd probably be able to take on the monks pretty easily.
Yeah, they're nothing to him.
One would think so.
Do you remember when Kenzaki was just talking about how he's trained so much to fight Oga, and then we never actually see that fight?
Yeah.
It's just a stone-skipping contest. That's the kind of thing I love about Beelzebub.
What, Aoi trained with a demon, and now it's, like, gone?
Yeah.
As far as we know.
Or how everyone trained to fight demons, and then we never actually see the fights, or they never actually use that sort of thing.
So I think what you're supposed to get out of the end of the chapter is that everyone views Furich as an equal kind of thing.
But he's part of the group.
I think that's what they're going for. It doesn't come across exactly well.
Yeah, it's just not very well conveyed at all.
It's more cool looking than it is informative.
Yeah, well, and in shonen manga, that's really all you need is for it to be cool looking.
Yeah.
Good end to the age of Furichi, I think.
I can't imagine where this is going to go from here.
Probably just jump to something else completely different.
Yeah.
I bet we get a few kind of one-off stories.
I wouldn't mind a bit of, not world building, but gag manga-ness.
Well, they reintroduced Mickey. I wonder if we'll see him do anything.
He's the only one of that group that I remember.
The Seven Horsemen?
Yeah.
I remember the girl, too.
Yeah, Togo's childhood friend.
And the president, the guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
The body president.
I don't remember him at all.
there's a samurai guy, I think. Mickey's the boxer.
Because they set it up as if, like, Oga was going to fight through all of them.
And then they just played them in volleyball.
Yeah.
It's a great manga.
Which, again, that's why Beelzebub is great. Because it subverts that kind of thing. Like, I don't expect a fight to happen next week. I expect them to just run off on something else to happen.
I bet we don't even pick up from the end of this. You're just supposed to presume that the monks got the crap kicked out of them.
Yeah.
Because, seriously, what else could happen, right?
I bet the monks get the crap kicked out of them and Furuichi gets a credit. Like, in the Legend of Furuichi, this is what happened.
God, who's the, Oga's underling guy that doesn't show up very much anymore?
I don't remember his name, but he had that girlfriend.
Yeah, the dude who hero worships him. I wonder if he's going to start hero worshiping Furuichi.
He was in pretty recently.
Yeah, they saw some of the fight, didn't they?
Yeah. He was there when Furuichi blocked Miki's attack.
Yeah, it'd be pretty funny if now Furuichi was his boss, you know.
That could add a bit more absurdity to the manga.
Yeah. Gets Furuichi to teach him how to fight.
It turns out he's actually naturally talented, and he gives Furuichi all the credit.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Alright, so final thoughts on Beelzebub?
Entertaining. Glad to... I think that I'm done with this mini arc, you know. I think I'll be pleased to see something else going on.
We've touched on it before, but I really like how they've made me care so much about people in a gag manga.
Yeah. They're decent characters now.
Though, yeah, get back to gags for now.
They can do both easily enough.
They need to do the ebb and flow.
So, I don't have a good transition for this, but Bleach was hot nonsense this week.
Let's start with blackface and just...
Yeah, let's start with the blackface.
Now, I don't think they're supposed to be black. Like, I think it's just supposed to be a stylized...
Yeah. It's from the Bleach perspective.
But if he's going to do that, then he shouldn't have done, like, the outline of the lips and everything else.
Yes, that's kind of... They really should just not had faces or something. It should have just been all black, but...
Also, this is so, like, Kibotite is channeling his 70s horror manga writer. Because this is so that. This is this whole was meant for me style.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, turns out Juha Bak was actually a pair of twins.
Well, I think one of them.
But what's really weird is that, okay, so the guy who was pretending to be
Royd.
Which
him
stupid.
Was Royd Lloyd was the name that was said, which is the two brothers' names. So, like, is he supposed to be a combination of the two or something like that? Because when it said what his name actually is, he said Royd Lloyd. Which is the two brothers' name.
See, when they, in the first page, they say that, like, one can imitate techniques but not appearance, the other one can do appearance but not techniques.
Yeah. So it must be somehow combine them and their two techniques together.
Yes. So which, not the stupidest part of that manga, but that's because the bar is incredibly high.
So Yamamoto realizes something's up when Juha Bak keeps screaming that he's sorry to Juha Bak.
That's usually a decent indication.
And then the first barracks explode.
Yeah, because you were trying to talk to Aizen.
Do you guys not remember?
I actually don't. I don't remember. I remember the Lloyd Royd part, and after that, my brain turned off.
Yeah. And then Bak takes care of Royd Lloyd. The combination thing kills him.
Well, we got his motivation for why they're attacking Soul Society.
Yes, he went to talk to Sosuke Aizen. Nothing terrible will come from that, I bet.
And apparently Aizen just, like, screw off.
Which is pretty funny.
Wanted to try and recruit him, because obviously he's more powerful than Aizen, so Aizen would be perfectly content with being an underling of this guy.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, given Aizen's history, I'm sure he wouldn't want to be in charge or anything.
So but then, he apparently has no intention of killing him because he says, it's fine, and now he has an eternity to think about that decision.
Which I'm sure totally doesn't mean that Ichigo and Aizen are going to have to team up to beat him.
Oh.
What, you didn't realize that, Imran?
I mean, I did, but I was hoping they would just not do it.
Well, they mentioned Aizen in this arc now, so obviously he's going to come back.
I mean, I figured he was going to come back because they didn't kill him the end of last arc. So obviously he was going to come back, but this direction is stupid.
Well, speaking of stupid, Yamamoto immediately
uses his Bon Kai again.
Which, kind of hilariously, Juha Bak just steals right away.
Yes.
With no fanfare.
Because
and
now
then
he has, like,
doesn't use against him again, right?
Well, he threatens to, but apparently doesn't need to.
So, a big Quincy bow shoots a sword down to him from the sky, which was strange. And then he uses that to cut Yamamoto in half.
I was kind of hoping it would just be his other arm, because that would be funny.
Just leave him as a stump for the rest of the manga.
Yep. So now he has Yamamoto's Bankai, which...
And basically exactly what we guessed last week, just way less
cool. Yep, just... Yep. And, you know... The week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that. It's just that it's finally gotten around to it happening.
God, that Lloyd Royd thing is so stupid.
It just... So, this has to mean that Lloyd Royd was the one that beat Kenpachi.
I know, that's what bothers me the most.
Because Yamamoto comes in on him holding Kenpachi.
Yes.
So, unless there's some elaborate, here, hold this, I'm gonna go over there, going on.
Man,
that's just depressing. That did not occur to me.
It's annoying because Kenpachi should have been... This should have been an arc where he excels. And then they just kind of like... They use him as the power establishment for the fake character.
Yes, not even the real one. Who Yamamoto becomes the power establishment.
Yeah. So when Ichigo
comes... He was totally the Chad of this arc.
Okay, let's not beat around the bush. Royd is not a real name.
Also, shouldn't both of those basically come out the same?
I think that's why they're written in English. I don't know. I think the LR thing fascinates Kubo, because he's done this kind of thing before.
If he did Lloyd and Roy, that would have been fine.
Yeah, Lloyd Roy is still pretty close.
Apparently there's people with Royd for a last name, but not a first name. Oh wait, no, here we go. There is a Royd Chambers who is a representative in the Iowa Congress.
Oh, clearly who he's named after. Wait, does he have a brother? He might be on something here.
I don't think so. Anyway.
So basically nothing good has come of...
Yeah, but basically the only thing that I'm taking away from this chapter is because they've established that they're going to be leaving Aizen in his imprisonment and whatnot, Ichigo is going to be trapped, and they're going to leave Soul Society before Ichigo escapes. that the confrontation is not going to happen there. It's going to happen in Hueco Mundo.
That'd be kind of funny if he spends all his time getting to Soul Society and it's like, shit, I missed him again. Damn
yeah,
it.
No, that's what I'm expecting to happen is a whole bunch of people will be dead. The Quincy's leave.
You know, it'd be great if he gets stuck on the way back. Like, he hits the same barrier again.
I'm betting Juha Bok immolates the whole place before he leaves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think
but somehow, miraculously, a couple people survive for Ichigo to find.
Including Aizen.
Like, yeah, you know, like, some rubble moves and Rukia gets out of it and just
and
having barely
she had been protecting Renji or something like that.
Yeah. So what do you figure, like, Renji, Rukia, and maybe two or three other...
I'd say Hitsugaya and Matsumoto, probably.
And probably
just because of popularity purposes?
Yeah.
I'd say Unohana survives. She can probably create a barrier to protect her and her vice captain.
And heal people, I'm sure. God.
Yeah. I mean,
aside from that, I'm not sure. That might be it. It
is all
you know,
towards zombies, though, right? Like, yeah. No,
ideally,
no doubt.
He's going to use his Bankai against Ichigo.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be Ichigo versus Zombie Byakuya. Or no, Rukia versus Zombie Byakuya.
I can see them doing that.
But Byakuya wasn't killed with the Bankai, so therefore...
He's still barely holding on, and he's going to get immolated by the fire.
Okay. There's your excuse.
It makes more sense than Lloyd Royd.
Lloyd Royd is a big nose Kabuto.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. This is big nose Kabuto level.
Anyway, let's just move on to something a little bit better.
No, we're still talking about Lloyd Royd for now. Because goddamn, that's so stupid.
I'm just trying to think of better names that are one letter apart that you could have used.
They don't need to even really be one letter apart. If they had no names, I would be fine with it.
If it was just like this mysterious child that was a twin that nobody could tell apart.
Yeah.
Or some weird thing where it was like, I don't know, a Japanese pun of some sort that wouldn't even translate to English.
Also, since when did Quincy's have shape-shifting powers?
Since, shut up.
Like, guy was why the yourself.
They're playing fast and loose with this whole Quincy thing.
Yeah, they actually seem to be closer to what were the things called last arc, the humans with hollow powers.
Arrancar?
No, they had another name.
No, he's talking about the welcome to your execution.
Yeah,
I can't remember what they weren't called executioners, right?
No, they had a name that referenced their powers, but
yeah.
Anyway, my favorite part of this is when Juha Bok destroys Lloyd Royd. Like, his feet are at the bottom of the hole. Like, he blew up his entire body except his legs for some reason.
I just cannot think of any possible stupid... Like, we theorized that this would happen. Just, they found the stupidest possible path. This is the Apple Maps of short plot pacing.
I don't think Kubo is good at this stuff. I'm just going to say it.
Writing?
Yes.
He had his one-trick pony, and it's about dead.
I would say Soul Society was very... It was interesting and well-written for a shonen manga.
Yes. But this is no Soul Society.
I mean, it is, but...
Well,
it's not.
And they didn't... It's a Fullbring is what it was.
Fullbring, that's what it was.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, we'll move on from Bleach, I guess.
Ass class?
Assassination Classroom.
I like this chapter. This was Kuro-sensei getting worked up about what the chairman said last week, which was that Class E needs to stay low and there's problems he can't solve with speed.
So then, of course, his solution is to move faster.
Yep.
I'm furious, though, that the opening cover shot of, like, the 100 Kuro-senseis, there was not one with a Naruto headband.
Well, they make up for that slightly.
I was looking for it, but yeah.
When, in the page after, they start talking about how the after images are getting a little shoddy, They show pictures of him, like, as Doraemon and Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
Because clearly the biggest things in
Japan...
That's
how After Images work, right?
Yes.
When you don't do them right, you turn into Mickey Mouse.
No, he's just doing it that fast so that he's putting on the costume and getting back there in time.
Yeah, even they notice he's a bit psyched up, and it's because of the chairman.
Yeah, basically it becomes four-on-one tutoring instead of one-on-one.
Yeah. So the students are like, we really don't need the tutor. It's not a big deal. Like, we'll just kill you, and then we'll have our backup plan. Though I did skip over the best gag of this issue. When he's remembering what's going to happen. Like, he's picturing what'll happen once the kids get good test scores.
Mm-hmm.
That all the students are looking at him with reverence, and sexy college students with large breasts heard about his reputation and asked him to tutor them.
Well, that would obviously be the result of this, right?
Yep. That would be the only possible result.
Worth all the time and effort.
But he thinks if he can get the students to motivated and doing well on their tests, then they'll stop trying to kill him. But they think the exact opposite. As long as they kill him, they don't need to get motivated on their tests.
So the chapter kind of becomes preparing the students for if they aren't able to kill him.
Yes, plan B.
Well, it's the big teacher motivational speech.
Which, I have to point out, if they're not able to kill him, he's going to destroy the world, so they don't really need to be prepared.
Well, I think that the point was more, what if somebody else kills him?
Yeah.
Yeah, because only one of them is going to get the money.
Well, I think they're going to split it among the class.
100 millions, among 30 people.
I think they agreed to split it among the
And
class.
Remember, that's yen, not dollars.
So. Well, yeah, 10 billion would be about $100 million.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's 10 billion. You said 100 million, so I was thinking it was 100 million yen, but okay.
100 million yen would be way less.
Yeah.
Yeah, he calls Irina out and asks her if she has backup plans when she's assassinating. She says, of course.
And, well, they also establish that students are able to climb out of
I couldn't remember if they had said that before or not.
I don't think so.
It's right before he talks to... what's her face? Irina.
Yeah.
So if they
in retrospect, it's kind of surprising that they would have even something as low as 10 billion as a reward for saving the planet.
Yeah. I mean, okay, a monster's going to destroy Earth. How much money do you think the U.S. government would raise for someone to take it out? Like $1 trillion, probably?
I mean, Bin Laden's was 50 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's so he's not...
Yeah, he's just a dude.
So twice that would be this monster.
Yes.
And that's all the world governments pooling their money together.
Economy's
I guess it is a year away. They think they have time. It's like, we'll start low and build it up, and we can save money if anyone kills them.
Yeah, he makes a good point that if he were to just leave, their entire plan would be screwed.
Yeah.
So he starts spinning in a circle to whip up a tornado.
Which the students at the school see.
Yeah.
While having the other teachers explain about the entire having contingency plans for when things don't go well in assassinations.
Right.
Yeah, through, like, knife fights, it's not always your first strike that kills them. Sometimes it's the second or third, so they have to be just as good.
So he turns their mountain of weeds and grass into a stream, I think?
It's a track.
The track.
Yeah, well, okay. No, if you go and look, I mean, it's overgrown, but the track was there originally.
Okay. That makes sense.
He just cleans up the area, I guess.
It basically looks like that, yeah.
So he tells them they needed a secondary weapon.
And he gives them 24 hours.
Yeah, until tomorrow.
To get into the top 50, which would get them out of his class.
And there's like 20 of them, 25?
Yeah.
So they'd have to make up pretty much the first half of the midterm scores. Which, if I'm remembering my Japanese semesters right, now would be the actual time students take midterms.
Timed this well?
Probably.
I wonder if this is actually going to follow a school year.
I can see them doing that Christmas, around Christmas.
Although I guess 10 chapters was a month.
Yeah.
Though we don't know if it's always going to follow that strict of a...
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly like they can't jump in the time here.
Yeah, they could. But I mean, after a year, you've got to do something with this manga.
Yeah.
To explain what's going, like him just saying no, I'll give you another year would be lame, I would say.
Yeah, that wouldn't be. It but wouldn't fit with what the theme the manga is trying to go for.
I would trust this mangaka to think of something interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, how do you think the testing is going to go?
They're going to be numbers 1 through 25.
I think they're going to get the right scores, but there's going to go classic shonen manga about school that the evil teachers or the chairman changes the scores.
Yeah. Kuro-sensei's going to find the real tests. And
yeah.
I find it hard to believe students can actually rise out of Class E.
Well, it makes sense that if you drop down there due to how poorly you do and that sort of stuff, that you can get back out, too. It's just that it's so stacked against them that it rarely happens.
I guess it's to keep those kids from, like, just purely dropping out. If they have some motivation to get back in. Because he needs them in school and discriminated against. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of this. Because you have confidence that they're just going to get 1 through 25. But, I mean, I could easily see this manga just having them flunk out of it. And Kuro-sensei having to work even harder next time.
I kind of wonder what happens if they actually do get out of Class E and get spread around the actual school.
Just bring in your students?
Well, no, I think that they're all going to test out or something like that, but then Kuro-sensei will, like, I don't know, request to keep all those students or something like that.
Actually, yeah, they do specifically say the Class E teacher has to approve them leaving. So I bet he keeps them all. He'll have the 25 smartest kids in the school all in Class E, and he'll refuse to let any of them leave, making Class E the de facto, like, best class in the school, I guess.
That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. That would totally ruin the president's plan, too.
I like that. Hopefully it goes that way.
Yeah. Well, they specifically say the teacher has to approve them leaving, so.
Yeah, I didn't think about that line too much. I thought, like, maybe they were talking about the former teacher before Kuro-sensei joined.
Yeah.
So, any final thoughts?
I like where this is going.
I'm wondering how dramatic they're going to make it during the testing, and I'm wondering whether there's going to be something along the lines of not cheating necessarily, but, like, during the test, Kuro-sensei will go so fast that nobody sees him, but he'll leave, like, encouraging notes on the students' tests and that sort of stuff.
Kids blink and he's written something on their eyelids.
It wouldn't be surprising if they were actually the best class in the school.
Well, I mean, they're each getting individually tutored by their teacher.
Yeah,
so.
And they have, like, an actual foreigner for their foreign language teacher. An FBI agent for PE.
Yeah.
All in all, that would an alien for a regular teacher? No.
For math and science.
All right, so next is Nisekoi.
Yep.
Which still haven't caught up yet.
Made it any further yet?
No.
So this is
the requisite beach chapter.
So we've done festival, now it's beach. So is next week going to be hot springs?
They've already done that too.
Yeah, but they could do it again.
Camping would be the one after.
Okay.
I imagine it, because it's, you know, supposed to be end of summer, it's probably going to be back to school is the next one.
Yeah.
Anyway, for a Shonen Jump beach chapter, this was surprisingly restrained.
Yeah, well, except for the frequent remarks that Tsugumi has giant breasts, apparently. Which is weird. Because she's flat most of the other times.
You know, it's the tied down so she can be the assassin.
I don't think you can tie down D-cups like that.
You have to understand that in manga, all of these things are just, like, completely malleable.
Yeah.
Just, like, you band yourself once with some tape and they're just gone.
They're just big bags of air that you can push in.
They just go into your body?
Yes.
So anyway, they go to the beach, and there's the reaction that you would normally expect from all of the guys when there's a group of girls like that that comes to the beach.
Four to five beautiful women just walking around.
And then, of course, the requisite discussion of size, but what's funny is that it happens off screen, unlike what you would imagine in most of these series. And
the character is immediately hit in the back of the head with a baseball bat.
Yeah, and Marika goes even crazier, basically attacking people.
Yes.
Yeah. So, she is good comedy at the moment. But anyway, group of guys approach Chitoge. Raku chases them off. So you have the entire boyfriend-girlfriend sort of thing there. And then basically it goes as you would expect, requesting the sunscreen, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And the day goes as you would expect.
Yep, they do beach stuff for 18 pages.
Yep.
They have nice moments.
There's some awkward stuff because Chitoge was freaking out because he was acting like her boyfriend and chasing people off. So then, you know, when they accidentally touch one another when making food, she freaks out and that sort of stuff.
Real interesting part of this chapter comes at the end.
Yes. After the sun has set, Onodera and Raku are, you know, sitting on the edge of the pier, basically looking out at the ocean and whatnot, and they talk a little bit. And then
she shows off her giant sandcastle. There's just like one panel. It's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah. It's very elaborate and everything else. And then as the cliffhanger ending, Onodera asks if she can kiss Raku.
Bombs dropped. Also, Chitoge's there and overhears it.
Yes.
This doesn't sound terribly interesting.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's like everything else in this series in that it's retreading well-established ground, but it's well done. You know what I mean? This series does not do anything new. It's nothing that you haven't seen before, but it is very well implemented.
The thing it has going for it is that it has likable characters and really good art. So,
I mean, but just listening to you guys talk about it, it's not that the story itself doesn't sound interesting. It's just that.
It's difficult to. I guess the difference when we're talking about the shonen fighting sort of stuff, we can go like, "Oh man!" And then it was so great when this guy hit that other guy in the face, and you know, stuff like that. But when you're talking about slice of life, regular living sort of stuff, there's not any way to talk it up. You know what I mean?
We're not going to go, oh man, that part where Chitoge cut her hand and Raku had to put a bandage on it. Oh man, I was just like fist pumping when that was happening.
If you were, that would be weird.
Yeah, just a little.
That'd be funny to see the really enthusiastic romance manga reader.
Yeah, I do want to dig up. I think it was Mega Mario and Honku had an exchange that was amazing after they saw the cliffhanger to this, where they were talking it up and all excited and everything.
This is a pretty big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Stuff's going to go down next week.
No, Raku will be asleep, so he didn't hear, or something like that, because they had been sitting at the sitting on there quietly for a long time, from what was implied the last couple pages.
Yeah, actually, looking, they don't show his face for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I guess
he'll just fall over, like, asleep on her shoulder, and she'll go, well, this is good, too. And
then kiss him on the cheek.
Yeah. I don't know. It's romance manga.
Yeah.
Move on to One Piece then?
Well, do you want to move on from it that fast?
Is there anything to talk about?
Imran doesn't have anything to contribute at this point, but, you know,
bored talking about this, which...
No, it's just difficult to talk about. Not really bored.
Yeah, like, I am not bored by the series itself.
It's basically like asking me to tell you about my day, and make it interesting. I don't know. I got up and I had some muffins, and they were pretty good. And
then really good muffins. And then
they're like oat apple, and they taste pretty good.
So Nisekoi like a fairly rote breakfast.
Yes, muffins and apple juice. Doesn't do anything special, but it's still pretty good.
All right, then.
So, Caribou is about to get killed.
Yep. and as his crew comes sailing up.
So, does his crew stand any chance against, what is it, G5?
I would imagine so. None of them are Devil Fruit users.
Yeah, and those who are still there, because obviously, you know, not all of G5 is present.
Yeah. A lot of them are being killed right now.
Yep. Yeah, so then we go back to the island and right. Left off, not last week, but the week before.
Yeah, One Piece is back now. It's the little girl talking to the scientist about how she saw a little boy go in and a dragon come out. And the scientist just sort of waves her off, like, don't worry about that. And don't tell anybody about that room.
Hmm.
So, probably important.
No, I'm sure it's not. Just a crazy little girl.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember. Is the room that they're talking about the sad thing that,
I don't think so.
Law went into or not?
I don't think so. I think it was a nursery room that they were experimenting on the kids, maybe?
Yeah.
But yeah, after that it cuts to the fight of Monet and Luffy.
Which is great, because we learn Harpy Monet's Devil Fruit power, and it's totally not what we expected.
Yeah, it's snow, which is kind of similar to Kanzaki's, but...
Not Kanzaki,
Kuzan. Trying to remember what his new name is.
But there's, you know, there's fire and lava, so it would stand to reason that there's ice and snow.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and hers doesn't look like it's a Logia. It looks like a Paramecia.
Yeah, although her main strategy to beat Luffy was to give him a big ol' hug. And
her fighting style is adorable.
Yes. Yes. Hypothermia hugs.
It was actually kind of creepy when she was just like, that's good, just close your eyes and go to sleep. You know, she's like killing him.
Yes. And so Luffy breaks down the floor with a jet attack and falls right through into the Star Wars like garbage room.
Yeah, like 20 stories down. It is like Star Wars, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope there's a monster down there, too.
So then it cuts to Chopper, who's currently in monster form.
Yes, fighting children.
Did we... I don't remember last arc that they showed it, but have we always known that he can control himself now?
Yeah, last arc it showed him specifically, like, he goes into that and somebody freaks out, and then he grins and he's like, no, it's me. Sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the problem earlier was it was Frankie that was in control of his body the last time it happened, and all Frankie right. Can't control it, so he went nuts.
So yeah, Chopper's trying to prevent the kids from getting to the candy.
Those kids are, like, really bringing it to him, too.
Yeah. Well, they're
well,
drug addicted.
He is kind of pulling his punches.
Yeah. But you don't think he goes all out beating children?
Also, Chopper telling kids not to use drugs?
This week on a very special One Piece.
I'm just saying, kind of hypocritical.
Oh, yeah.
But he's...
Hey kids,
they're not trying to eat Rumble Balls.
Clearly different.
No, his candy is special. He needs it. You don't understand.
As he scratches his arm.
I just need a rumble ball, man. You got any?
So the kids get past him eventually, and Robin tries to stop them with her Milfleur, the giant hands.
Yeah, because all the other Straw Hats have caught up to Chopper.
Yeah. And Chopper has found an ally in... Did they say the girl's name?
It's her
Mocha.
Mocha, yeah.
Who's apparently not drug addicted.
Well, we see her come out of it when the kids get back to the lab.
Yeah.
They show one girl kind of snap out of it.
So she takes the last piece she can find and run to the window. And they see Monet, which is where it cuts off. And
Monet tells her not to hog all the candy to herself and to share with all the other kids.
Yeah.
So is it just me, or has Chopper really kind of not... accomplished a hell of a lot.
I think he's made an antidote. He just can't use it yet.
Well, keep in mind, his legs were also broken up until a couple chapters ago.
Fair point.
But
so,
yeah.
He's at least gotten over that, even though they are hitting him in the legs with lead pipes now.
So it cuts to Law after that.
Yep. Having stolen his heart back somehow.
Well, he uses the room and he pulls his heart up out of the ground, I think.
Yeah.
but immediately
yeah, I guess he knew where it was stored or something like that.
Ah, so that's what's going on. I thought Caesar had it on his person, but I guess not.
Well, Virgo had it earlier, and now he has it again by just simply intercepting it.
Yeah, and starts squeezing it. Just that's got to feel good. And
then wailing on Law.
Yeah, knocking his hat off, which is I think the first time we see Law hatless.
Yeah. And he kind of looks like Ace and Luffy with his hat off to a certain degree.
It's kind of spiky black hair.
Yeah.
So is he using like an electricity power or something?
I think it's like pain shocks from him squeezing his heart.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks like it's from him squeezing his heart.
Yeah, I kind of wondered at first too, but it's just, you know, he squeezes it and then just Law's chest erupts in electrical things. I think it's just supposed to be shooting pain through his body.
Okay.
Because
pain is an electrical impulse.
Yes. Now you know. So him killing Law is interrupted by Smoker shows up.
Yep. Well, it skips over one part that was confusing me. As Virgo is telling him, you know, he has a message from Joker, it's pity, and Law thinks it's not working. Like, and he goes on about how he calculated getting his heart from Caesar, but Virgo was the miscalculation. But what wasn't working?
Well, Virgo is inside of his room right now.
Yeah, I think you might have had a bad translation. What happened was he's just saying that, like, his plan to get back his heart was perfect. He just didn't count on Virgo showing up.
Okay. It made it sound more immediate than that.
No, it's the translation I have is, I got my heart back from Caesar, but I didn't count on you showing up, Virgo. And then Virgo gets mad because he didn't add a song to it.
And then Smoker shows up.
Yes.
Which Smoker is now was... everyone's starting to get to their actual fights.
Yeah.
Smoker is also mad. Also, Law's kind of unconscious now.
Yeah.
Which surprises me.
I think he's going to disappear sometime during this fight.
He's going to slink away with his heart.
Has Virgo had any food attached to him since he fought Sanji?
No. Well, he hasn't eaten anything since then.
Well, it usually just appears.
Yeah, didn't he have something stuck to his face during the Sanji fight, too? But yeah, there's nothing on there now. So yeah, doesn't look like there's anything since then.
I still wonder if he has a devil fruit power.
I'm sure he does.
I mean, it's not uncommon for high-ranking military officers. Remember, they gave Kaku and... what's her name? Bubble Lady. Who cares?
We know who you're talking about.
Yeah, they gave them, they were like assigned devil fruits.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We know that's at least a standard practice.
Does Virgo rank above Smoker?
Yeah, he's like
I think so, yes.
I think he's head of G5.
That would make sense. It also kind of possibly means Smoker stands no chance.
So
I mean, I think that they're technically, like, the same rank, but not necessarily...
Well, he's a vice admiral. What is Smoker? Is Smoker a vice admiral right now?
Yeah, didn't he get raised to vice admiral? Or is he,
I think you're right. I think he is a vice admiral. So they're the same rank, so...
Okay.
It's kind of up in the air. Oh, it even says on the last page, Vice Admiral Smoker. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to this fight.
I really like the last line where... Smoker calls him Pirate Virgo instead of Vice Admiral Virgo.
I still hold by my theory that there's something regarding Virgo that we don't know yet. Like, maybe he's double agenting somehow.
I think he's just always been part of Joker's crew.
Yeah. So I think it's a little late to play that at this point for Virgo. I think that it might be possible that there's something more going on with Monet, but...
I think Virgo's going to lose and or bite it, but I think it's going to be revealed that at some point he was trying to gather information on Joker.
Also, Monet was kind of trying to kill Luffy, so
yeah.
I think the ship sailed on her. Although she might have just been trying to knock him out. Because, still.
Yeah.
I really find Monet's power interesting.
Being cold?
Yeah.
Which probably some level of symbolism there.
Yeah. I don't know, it's weird seeing her talk and do stuff. Because normally she just quits.
You're so used to her being in the background.
Yeah, just like responding to something Caesar says and then going back to reading.
Here's the part of Monet that doesn't make sense to me. We saw her literally days before Law showed up. and she did not have bird parts.
Well, Law gave everyone animal parts.
Did he? Like, why would she request that? I can understand Brownbeard and his crew wanting them because they're idiots.
I don't know. Her name's Harpy Monet. Like,
she wants to be able to fly.
Maybe she wanted thematic consistency with her name.
Let's hope Robin and Law do not meet.
I don't know. Well, no, Robin has grown her own wings at some point anyway, so.
Those are more angel wing style things, though.
Also, they're hands, so it's freakish.
All right, so thoughts, predictions?
And Robin's power is really horrifying when you think about it.
Yeah, kinda.
Just masses of hands growing out of things.
Yeah. And not just hands.
Not enough to.
Eyes and.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oda specifically answered the question of if she could grow boobs on things. Yes, she can.
It's sad that somebody had to ask that.
Well, they asked if Luffy's penis can stretch. Which, yes,
and later that became established in the series as well.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, remember? Well, back on when they first find
the mushroom?
On, yeah, the mushroom.
And they pull on it and just keep pulling and pulling and pulling?
Oh.
Did you block that out?
Yes. I did. Oh, One Piece.
Also, Buggy's penis can fly.
That has been asked.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, Buggy's body works the same way. Because Oda answers this basically just like, yes, every part of his body can move. Yes, even that. It just makes sense. Like, why would that be any different?
Oh, One Piece.
Because.
Let's stop talking about penises.
Thoughts, predictions.
Penis? Oh, no.
Next chapter, we're not going to see a whole lot of the fight that was set up in this one. We're going to see other stuff.
I think we'll see Luffy escape.
I think we're done with Luffy for a few chapters. I bet the Straw Hats versus Monet get set up a little bit more.
And then I think at the end of the chapter, it's going to be... Well, no, it'll be a little quick for the other guys to show up. Doflamingo's underling.
What's Caesar up to? Yeah. Because they just got dispatched. I bet they're not... Yeah. I bet those underlings are... Once the dust settles on this and everything's like, oh, we won, you know, it'll be like Kuma on Thriller Bark.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, crap, you know, way strong person and we're all wiped out.
One thing was interesting that they established but haven't talked about since then was the meeting of the supernovas.
Yeah, the alliance.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to hear about that anytime soon, though.
But it's weird to just interrupt the arc with it and then just not bring it up again.
Yeah,
it's probably seemed as good a place as any because with the broadcast of everything that was going on, it was kind of timely.
I could see that. I could also see it having something to do with this.
It seems like a pretty important seed to just lay, like, if it's going to be way far in the future.
Right.
I'm not saying way far necessarily, just maybe like we'll get to that in between this arc and the next arc.
Maybe. Oda pretty frequently establishes that other stuff is going on other places. You know, the world doesn't revolve around the Straw Hats.
Yeah. I can see Smoker, hitting Virgo with the Sea Stone sword thing he has, and it affecting him in ways he didn't realize.
It would be interesting if he's, like, a shapeshifter and gets knocked out of it or something.
Or if he's, just simply, he didn't tell anybody he had a Devil Fruit power.
Yeah.
So what you're thinking is that maybe, like, with the shapeshifter thing, this is not... The actual Virgo who's hidden away someplace?
They have... I mean, I'm sure it's just Toshigi sparing the feelings, but they have tossed around the idea that this could be a fake Virgo.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's the case, but...
Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of strange, but I could see it working if they wanted to go that route.
I can totally believe that Doflamingo just has a Vice Admiral in his pocket.
That seems like the kind of thing he would do.
Yeah.
Nah, Doflamingo grows clones.
See, Doflamingo had these two twins.
Named... And they talk about pooping a lot. See, I thought you were talking
See,
about...
See, I was trying to set it up, but Imran went back in the other direction. So
you were going forward, he went backwards.
It's just so stupid. All right, so on to Naruto.
So Bito meets these guys named Lloyd and Royd.
He's like, wow, that's a really good idea.
Well, on the color page, we got an actual showing of who is who. when they were younger and they're who they are now.
Yeah.
We got what's his name? Raiden.
Ebisu.
Raiden or Raijin, one of those. Ebisu, that info guy with the glasses whose name I don't know.
I remember his name. Oh, no, I don't.
And then Ibiki, Guy, Kakashi. I think Ino's dad is in the background there.
Is that him? Yeah.
I don't know. It's a blonde guy. Anko.
Asuma.
How did I blank on Asuma? Kurenai, Hayate.
That one guy who was in that one part of the Chunin exam and then never seen again.
The guy who I think is named Raiden instead. Iruka.
Yeah.
Thus confirming that everyone in the village that's not of Naruto's age is the same age.
Yes.
There's like old people, 20-somethings, and 12-year-olds.
Well, that's kind of how it's got to work, right?
I guess.
Well, no, but they're supposed to be like a single year's class. They're all supposed to be the exact same age. That means that there's like, you know, 5, 6, whatever years between having classes,
but
right?
But do those people matter? Also, Ino's dad has to be a lot older.
Yeah, so it's probably some other blonde guy.
Because the rest of the group isn't there either.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the most important duo of adults is not there. Kotetsu and Izumo. Huh?
Who?
I'm trying to remember who they are.
They show up frequently. Here, I'll send you a picture. You'll recognize them.
Oh, yeah. I recognize Kotetsu.
They are generic, like, adult ninjas whenever they need them.
Yeah.
Were they the ones that were blocking the door at the Chunin exam?
Yeah, and they also worked as gatekeepers, and they also, like, they're just wherever they need to be.
They're the ones who came along when they went to fight Hidan and whatnot in the fight that where Asuma dies.
Oh, right. And they didn't help at all?
Well, yeah, they, like, showed off their attacks and then just stood there.
Anyway.
And Ebisu looks like a nerd when he's a kid.
Well, he was a nerd. He is a nerd.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. Tobi Obito smashes the wall down.
With,
I move henceforth, we call him Tobito.
Yeah, this is Tobito. We'll finally be able to use that.
What do we call the armor shell he's wearing?
Tobito.
That's what we're calling? Okay. So, with Tobito's help, he, breaks
down. No. The combined form is Tobito.
Yeah, the armor is Tobi. He's Obito. It's Tobito.
All right, fine. So with Tobi's armor help, he breaks through. And he says he's not coming back, but thanks Madara for the limbs.
Yeah, and Madara wakes up and comments that he's leaving.
Madara is such an old man. Just like, whoa, huh, what? Gone.
So this chapter is going to be hard to summarize.
Get back on my lawn.
There's really only one thing that happened.
And well, we can go on about Madara and Obito's discussion. That Madara is sure that Obito's going to return to him someday.
But that's basically it. That's the entire discussion.
Yeah.
We also find out that there's all of these clones seeded throughout the ground everywhere.
Yeah.
Also, we see Madara's giant wall of weapons and clothing and ninja stars.
And one of which is the weapon he's been using against, or that Tobi has been using against Naruto.
Yeah, the fan, and also his scythe, and then a couple big swords.
So yeah. And
also some Akatsuki cloaks, because why not?
Obito starts running through the woods, and that's more or less the whole rest of the chapter.
Yeah, and it's established that Minato is not there.
And then he starts to see stuff through his other eye, which...
Which is Kakashi's.
Which is kind of neat, like, as a concept. When they get close proximity, he can see through the other eye. I'm wondering if that's going to come into play in the current fight.
Yeah. And what he sees is Rin crying. And he arrives at the scene to find Kakashi having punctured Rin through the chest, killing her.
Using a Chidori, I think.
Yeah, the lightning's still kind of coming off of it.
Yeah. And I'm going to guess it's going to be something where, like, she knew and he had to be going through her in order to take out the enemy, sort of thing.
Well, Kakashi sure doesn't look happy about it, so. Yeah.
That is not just rain on his face.
Yeah. I don't have a good theory for what this could possibly be.
Wouldn't it be something if Rin was just a traitor?
I don't think Kakashi would have killed her. I think he would have captured her.
Maybe.
No, I genuinely think that this is going to be one of those things where the only way to take out the enemy was to attack through her, sort of thing. Like that you see in many different shonen series. Huh?
But what other enemy? They're alone out there.
But they were fighting Hidden Mist ninjas, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They're kind of in the rain. There's mist around them.
I mean, some stuff has gone down where they are. Kakashi's beat up. The ground is all destroyed.
Yeah.
It also, this does explain why Obito has this huge hate-on for Minato.
Yeah, and Kakashi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to go one step further and predict that it's somehow going to come out, and it's going to come out in the fight, which is what's going to cause Obito to have his, you know,
come to Jesus
revelation
moment.
and convert to the good guy side in the current fight, is that it's going to end up that Madara had gotten the clones to be the ones causing the fight that they were fighting.
Like something at that point. Obito needed detachment from this world, and all he ever talked about was Rin, so she needed to go.
Yeah, yeah, and so he was the one that, you know, ordered the other clones to be fighting, and that's why they told him about it going on and everything else.
So, something that bugs me is that Kakashi's mask is still torn where he got his scar. I don't know if that's just a weird thing.
Maybe he just keeps the same mask.
I guess he could. Also, if it hasn't been that long, maybe he hasn't gotten a new one yet.
It's been about a year, hasn't it?
Maybe.
I don't think it was quite a year, but they mentioned it was a couple months.
Well, I don't think they mentioned any concrete thing, but Obito's hair is like waist length now, and that takes a while.
Yeah. So this whole seeing through each other's eyes thing, I'm going to guess Kakashi is going to be the only one who finds out that Obito betrays Madara.
You think?
I bet he's going to be the one who sees Obito, like, attacking him at the end. Or at least that's going to be, like, the dramatic angle.
But, okay, I can see a dramatic angle, but I'm kind of, like, trying to establish any sort of concept in terms of when he would be able to see that, but nobody else could see the betrayal other than the two of them succeeded, so they left. Yeah.
Or Madara just straight up knocks everyone out. Except, and Kakashi just barely awake.
I think it's going to be more of a standard shonen fight than what you're expecting. I think they're just going to fight Madara and beat Madara.
I don't think they can beat Madara. They're struggling with Obito.
Well, if Obito helps.
Yeah, if Obito helps. I'm betting deathbed explosion of some sort.
I'm thinking that the fight is going to be drawn out and basically be a draw, but they're going to have gotten Naruto's chakra somehow, and so go off to actually implement their plan.
They already have the.
But no, like Madara mentioned something about that not being sufficient, didn't he?
He said it was incomplete.
Yeah,
but it's still good enough. I mean, the Monzo's in the process of activating right now. Remember, they were trying to kill it.
Yeah, no, but Madara then arrived thereafter and said that it wasn't
good. I don't think it was up to his standards.
Okay.
High tree-sucking standards.
Yeah, I mean, he shows up like, you didn't revive me, you messed up the Monzo. What the hell are you doing out here, Obito?
I wonder if Obito never planned for Madara being revived.
But that's what I think.
That's why he needed information.
Would you bring this guy back?
Yeah, seriously. In his prime, no less. Much less a crazy old man.
I don't think he even planned for this. Kabuto's jutsu. Because he was really interested in how to shut it down.
Yeah, that's true. That was his one condition to allow it to go.
And yet it doesn't actually work because Madara just shrugged it off.
Yeah, which...
And yet he didn't ask him to bring back Rin.
I can't wait for next week just to find out what the hell... I was not expecting Kakashi to have killed her.
Yeah, that was a genuine surprise and a backstory we mostly know all the details to now. But I mean, Obito actually, he never did say that Kakashi killed Rin. Though I guess we can't probably get into wording too much with translations.
Yeah.
But
one thing that surprised me this chapter is just how monstrous Obito looks.
Yeah.
With that, like, Hunchback of Notre Dame thing going on.
I imagine that's mostly intentional.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, while Sasuke got more evil and more crazy, he started getting more shonen attractive, I guess.
Sure, just he kept unbuttoning one more and more, more button.
He kept getting taller and more muscular.
Well, that's how Orochimaru likes him. That's how he grows. That's how he grows him.
I like how they no one ever accuses Orochimaru of being a little too pedo-y, but very first thing said to Madara, "Hey, you're kind of creepy."
Well, it's just because he's that much older. You know, it's acceptable at Orochimaru's age.
So Orochimaru has long hair and he's kind of pretty. So.
But yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah. So that's what we'll see next week. I don't think there's any question about it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to pick up right here.
So. Unless, if it doesn't, that would be really annoying.
Meanwhile, Sasuke.
God, that would be just the sort of thing I could see him doing.
I wouldn't mind a meanwhile Sasuke, because I still don't know what's up with him. What the hell is he doing?
At the end of this flashback, maybe.
It'd be funny if they just never bring it up again.
And then Sasuke went off to have other adventures. The end.
Sasuke was just doing his own thing.
He went to America. Started a new life.
That's how manga usually works, right? Once you run out of ideas, you just have the characters go to America?
It'd be great if the Naruto Island universe just existed in ours. It was just like off the shore of Japan.
And he wrote the story of Naruto on some gold tablets and buried them on a hill.
The Naruto ninjas are just a metaphor for the Ainu.
Okay.
Alright, so that was Naruto. And I guess we're done.
Yeah, there's not really much in the way of predictions that we can do with Naruto, other than, yep, it's a flashback. It's going to continue. We're going to find out some neat stuff.
It is a flashback. It's going to continue.
Hopefully. Now that you said the Sasuke thing, I think it's possible.
Oh, I thought you were alluding to, like, the thing we were talking about with Bleach last week. Thank you for reading. Please look forward to Kishimoto Sensei's next work.
Nah.
If they had done that last week, we would have been spared quite a bit of heartbreak this week.
Oh, Lloyd Royd.
That's the episode title, too.
How could it not be?
Screw you, Kumote Day.
Oh, wait.
Who would win in a fight between Lloyd Royd and Big Nose Kabuto?
Probably Lloyd Royd. Well, no, because he'd have to have someone around to copy. It'd just be like... Well, no, because Big Nose Kabuto is a copy of somebody, too, so that's what they have in common. So they'd
just bro out and go get a beer?
Yeah. Yeah, they'd bond over that.
So this is what it's like when doves cry.
They just hug and then stand there for about a year.
All right, this has been your Thursday, October 4th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next time.
I'm also happy that Rapunzel is so popular. That's a very good movie.
It was. Tangled was a very good movie.
It's one of the few recent movies that I've watched like 6 times. Just because I love that movie.
God
okay,
damn
that's,
it, you guys.
That's kind of sad.
I know.
You make these timestamps so hard to actually stick to.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that you posted it. I'll shut
okay, so now we need to talk some more because he's posted the timestamp again.
Oh, all right.
I will click this hang up button next to your name, Dragon.
Okay.
Third time's the charm.
God damn it. Really?
I was just giving you the kicker. That's all I was trying to do.
I gotta mute my mic.